Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth.
Good morning. Lately, I've been indulging in a little bit of a guilty pleasure, and I've been seeking out these documentaries or TV series that take you behind the scenes of different sports teams. They take you into the locker room, or they take you to the practice field during the week. They might even take you into the discussions where the coaches are deciding amongst themselves what plays they want to run, what things they want to do on the field. And my absolute favorite part that happens during these documentaries is they take you to the pregame pep talk between the coach and the players. And the coaches are always telling them, you know, I want you guys to go out there and play for the guy next to you, play for your fans that are cheering you on, you know, play for your family that's here watching you play today, and go out there and give it your best effort, go out and win the game. You never hear a coach say, guys, I want you to go out there today and be meek, right? Like, no one says, go out there and give me your meekest game. And we know why. Being meek is not going to win you the game. We don't sit in the stands or sit on our couch and watch a game and cheer for our team when they're being meek. Cheer for them when they're being strong, which we define as winning the game and defeating their opponents and putting another number in the victory column, in the win column. But I think some of my fascination with sports has to do with the fact that there are a lot of similarities between kind of our sports world and our cultural world, our contemporary culture. And one of those is being that we live in a culture that is obsessed with competition. If you really look at it, there is competition happening everywhere in our society. Competition is the nature of our economic system. It's in the business world, right? We see restaurants or coffee shops or whatever close because another one down the street is doing very well. We see it in social media. We count the number of likes that we receive or retweets. We judge each other and maybe even ourselves based on somebody else's picture or how they appear versus how we appear. We have a lot of competition in our social media world. It's even in our education system, right? It's in the grading system. I'm even learning now that it's happening in preschool. They get little stickers or something based on how well they've behaved during that day, and all the kids come running out bragging about their green ticket or their yellow ticket or their red ticket. And it's amazing to see three-year-olds already competing with each other to see, you know, which level of ticket or whatever they got. So it's everywhere. And a lot of it is part of what I've taught before about this scarcity mentality, right? This idea that there isn't enough for everyone. It's pretty inherent everywhere that we look, and a lot of our competition, a lot of the ways that we value things is based on how much we can get, and we feel this need to get more and more of it. And then we see Jesus, who says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, if you've had an opportunity to sit down and read the commentary that Matthew Siebert, Mark and Sonia's son, had written for us. It's very dense. I recognize that. But I was reading over that. I found it helpful as I've prepared for these sermons and the background information and how he's contextualizing these very short beatitudes within the larger scheme of the New Testament, but also within the whole big picture of Old Testament, New Testament, the entire story of Scripture. And he mentioned something that really I did not see at first. It was an oversight for me. He was drawing a comparison or making mention of the very specific allusion, the similarities in the story of Moses in the Ten Commandments and Jesus in the Beatitudes, they look very similar. Moses, remember, he climbs up Mount Sinai. I've done that. It takes a really long time. He gets the Ten Commandments and brings them down to the people, shares them with the people. It's this whole new concept. Jesus is doing something very much the same in the Beatitudes. He does bring the disciples with him, but he gets some space from the rest of the community that's trying to get more from him and hear what he has to say. And he's just speaking to the disciples, but he climbs up the mountain there, receives or gives these Beatitudes to the disciples, and those Beatitudes make their way to the people as they've made their way to us today in our scripture. In each case, the Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes, these moral teachings represent, they announce a new era for God's people. It's this dawning of a new era. And in Jesus' case, we call that new era the kingdom of God. That is what Jesus is bringing to us. And this concept of the kingdom of God, as Matthew also talks about, it's got a tricky component to it. As we like to say, it's here, but not yet. It's in our midst, but it is not here yet in its total, complete fullness. We are still waiting for that. We live in this between space, between here and not yet. And I was thinking about it this morning. It's a little bit like a sun. If you can picture this, a sun at dawn that's just rising on the horizon, maybe at 7:15, right? And it's shedding light, it's brightening up outside, but there's still darkness. It's shedding light, but there's still some darkness. We know it will rise eventually. We know that morning and the day will come. And Jesus asks us, just as the kingdom of God does the same, Jesus asks us to live as if it has. So like the Ten Commandments, the Beatitudes, give us this new kind of guidelines to live by as a people. So just like the poor in spirit that we talked about a few weeks ago and last week, for those who mourn, Jesus looks favorably upon the meek. The beginning of the Beatitudes here reflects the kingdom concern for people who are downtrodden, who are suffering, who are dismissed. And that's who finds favor and freedom first and foremost in God's kingdom. So it's not just that God sees and cares for all people in their plight. God promises them that things will change. The poor in spirit will find the kingdom of heaven. Those who mourn will be comforted, and the meek will inherit the earth. And I think that we can see ourselves, I know that we have all seen ourselves at one point or another in our lives in that space among those sets of people. Right? God sees you. God makes promises. And God fulfills them. Our job is to have faith and to trust. Now, what does it mean to inherit the earth, the second part of the passage today? That phrase does not lend itself very easily to obvious meaning. At least it doesn't to me, but it's a very powerful image. And as I was reflecting on this image, this idea of the meek inheriting the earth this week, I kept coming back to two young women in our world today who I think embody this image, and they have inspired me alongside millions of other people, and I want to just share a little bit about them. The first one is Malala Yousafzai. Maybe you know who Malala is. She came to be lauded worldwide for her courageous advocacy for female education. Girls were banned from school by the Taliban in the region of Pakistan where she grew up. And she stood against this practice and began to speak up and expose this discrimination against women that was happening all around her. And then one day while she was riding a bus through town with a few friends, an assassination attempt was made upon her life, and she was terribly injured. And as news began to spread of this attempt to take Malala's life, as the story reached this greater audience, she began to receive international support, an outcrying of support for her advocacy, her courageous advocacy. Now today, she's continuing her education, and she's become a prominent activist for the right for women's education worldwide. The other young woman is Greta Thunberg. About a year ago, Greta began to spend her Fridays outside the Swedish Parliament, her home, in order to bring awareness to the climate crisis affecting the entire world. So at just 16 years old, she started this international school climate strike movement. And then a few weeks ago, you may have seen over a million students worldwide participated in her school climate strike. From one to over a million. All because she acted courageously. And now the world is taking notice. And it's about time. What strikes me about Malala and Greta and many others like them is that by the world standards, and especially young women, they are often dismissed as naive and idealistic at first. It's almost like, oh, what they're doing is kind of cute over there, but they're not taken seriously. And part of that is because they don't wield money or power, the threat of violence, those traditional instruments of strength. Instead, they embody this courageous meekness that ends up revealing those traditional aspects of strength to be destructive. Courageous meekness is a different kind of strength. It is life-giving. And to my mind, courageous meekness is Christ-like at the core. When we see someone who embodies courageous meekness, we catch a glimpse of Christ in them. And I'm left wondering this week how different our world would look if more world leaders acted like Malala and Greta. If more everyday, ordinary folks like you and me just acted a little bit more like that, took a risk. If you're paying attention to the news these days, you see the images of war, the stories of conflict, the rumors of increased violence. The traditional elements and instruments and attitudes of strength are destroying us. What if more voices like Malala and Greta and all those deemed meek by the powers of the world were amplified and heard? What if the meek inherited the world? If we believe in the kingdom of God, then we believe that the day is coming when they will. When this new era of the kingdom of God is made manifest by Jesus, we will no longer be ruled by this idea that might makes right, but by the life-giving power of courageous meekness. And that kingdom is here and now, yet it's still emerging on the horizon. When Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth," this is not just a promise for the future, but a call to live it out now, here among us. And this is an upside-down vision that requires radical imagination because we only see glimmers of it right now in our world. Jesus wants us to imagine what it would look like for the blessings of the Beatitudes to come to fruition. That's the point. And it's a vision of a brand new world, not a distant, far-off heaven, but a brand new world here and now, in our midst, in our lives. And Jesus' message is no less relevant today than it was when he first gave the Beatitudes. Another world is possible. Another world is on the way. Now let's get out and make it happen. In Jesus' name, amen.